We're going to see how we as believers are to raise our kids. Now you're saying, wait a second, I don't have any kids, or my kids are grown up, whatever it might be. We're going to see that there are some parallels in how God raises us. We're His children. And we're also going to see that all the principles in Colossians that we've learned apply to these relationships.
Welcome to this Thursday edition of Equipping the Saints. Equipping the Saints is a daily radio outreach from Equipping Bible Church in Greer, South Carolina. And our teacher is Greg Lundstedt, pastor of Equipping Bible Church. And Greg, today we begin our look at what God has to say about raising children.
Yes, we will, Dave. And I just have to say, for anyone out there who has children or is currently raising children, you don't want to miss any of these broadcasts. There's so much biblical truth and so much practical application for raising our kids. So I'd encourage you to pay close attention. And also, I just want to let our listeners know that my wife wrote a small pamphlet concerning training up your children from the heart with practical examples. And we're going to offer that for free for anyone who would like that. We just encourage you that if you feel prompted to give a donation to cover the costs of the booklet and shipping. But we just want to offer that to you, and I think it would be a blessing. Okay, let's get to our passage where we're going to see from God's Word how we're to train our children.
Well, thanks, Greg. Now, if you want to listen to today's broadcast again, just download our new free app from the Apple App Store. You'll find today's broadcast, archived broadcasts, as well as more about this ministry and our teacher, Pastor Greg Lundstedt. Now, let's join Greg for today's message.
Well, have you been to a Walmart lately? Well, if you've been to one, you'll know there are all kinds of different child-raising philosophies. Just look at all the different kids in Walmart and how they behave. I saw a kid down on the ground saying, no, 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 to the mommy who was like 3 years old. I saw other kids obeying their parents, being very good. We see a picture across this society that we live in of all different types of child-raising philosophies. Now, the world has its child-raising philosophy, which is basically children are basically good and that you need to let them have their way. You need to not restrain them. And that philosophy comes straight out of hell because we know from Scripture that we are evil, that we are born in sin, but yet it is through Christ that we are redeemed. It's through Christ that we have forgiveness of sins. Now, for the Christian, there shouldn't be a mystery on how to raise our children. It shouldn't be a mystery. We should know how to raise our children. We've come to a portion in Colossians in which we're going to look at the parent-child relationship. And I've shared this before, and this is the first time I'll share it with basically grown children, having gone through the process of applying God's Word and seeing His work in that context. And so with that in mind, would you turn your Bibles to Colossians chapter 3, and we're going to see how we as believers are to raise our kids. Now you're saying, wait a second, I don't have any kids, or my kids are grown up, whatever it might be. We're going to see that there are some parallels in how God raises us. We're His children. And we're also going to see that all the principles in Colossians that we've learned apply to these relationships. And you might even have opportunities to come alongside those in your family who are Christians to share the Word of God with them, that they might be enabled to raise their children in a way that is glorifying to the Lord. You see, the consequences are great. Scripture is very clear that the way you raise your child does affect their eternal destiny, how they'll receive the Word. We'll see later on that if you don't deal with certain things, biblically speaking, you're not protecting your child from Sheol, from death. So with that in mind, what does God have to say about it? Not what does Greg have to say about it, not what do you have to say about it, but what does God have to say about it? And you might realize as we go through this that, wow, I blew it. And if you are a Christian and you blew it, then we'll see how we should respond as we learn from God's Word. Because we all make mistakes. No one's perfect. We all fail, right? But this hopefully will be a blessing to those who are raising children and an opportunity and a venue to pass along to others who are raising children. Now, again, we've been in the book of Colossians, and I'm going to abbreviate this context because we got a lot to talk about today. Very clearly, the Apostle Paul is writing to the Colossians based on a report that he's received from Epaphras about their faith in Jesus and their love for one another, and yet there were threats to their faith. There were those trying to delude them with persuasive arguments, those attempting to spiritually kidnap them with worldly philosophies packaged in a religious context, such as following the shadows or following religious experience or whatever it might be, or rules. Man's wisdom packaged religiously, which are of no value, chapter 2, verse 23, concerning fleshly indulgence. And the Apostle Paul's solution to the issue of these false teachers was to focus on Jesus Christ and his sufficiency and who we are in him. He is the Redeemer. He's the Creator. He is before all things. He holds all things together. He's the head of the body. He is preeminent. He's fully God and fully man. He died for us to present us holy and blameless. And he is in you, and you are in him. And we saw the Apostle Paul share that the ministry was about proclaiming him and proclaiming his word fully. And in chapter 2, that in him, Christ, are all the treasures and the wisdom and knowledge. So don't get taken captive. Trust him, because in him you have a complete salvation, and in him you are complete. And therefore, we should be setting our minds on the things above, not the things of earth. We should be putting off and killing off sin and putting on Christ, renewing our minds, letting his peace rule in our hearts, filling our hearts with his word, being controlled, choosing to allow his word to govern all our actions and words. The word richly dwelling in us, producing, admonishing, and teaching in true worship. And then we came to the point last week where we started to see how this is applied in relationships, and we saw the marriage relationship. And today we'll look at the parent-child relationship. Then we'll look at the slave-master-work relationship, and then how we're to relate to non-believers. And so this book is so practical because it points us to the sufficiency of Christ through his word. Okay, so how are we believers to raise our kids in Christ? Well, as we look at this, I need to warn you that if you take these principles apart from abiding in Jesus Christ, you're going to destroy your family. You're going to destroy your kids. If you are not personally yielding to Christ, allowing his word to dwell richly, if you're doing this rotely in the flesh, you take what's being said from Scripture and you apply that, you're going to hurt your family. You're going to hurt your kids. You need to be walking with the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus said, apart from me, you can do nothing. You can't raise your kids apart from relying on Christ. He gives us his word, but he gives us himself by his Spirit as the power to fulfill his word. We need to be walking in Christ. And unless the Lord builds the house, they who labor, labor in vain. You can go through, so many people want a list, just like in the Bad Guys with chapter 2, a list of do's and don'ts for child training, to do all this, and that's how they're going to raise their kids. Rather than depending on Christ in accordance to his word working in my heart. So clearly, we need to have his word filling our hearts. We saw this back in chapter 1, verse 9. For this reason also, since the day we heard of it, we've not ceased to pray for you and ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding, so that you may walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, to please him in all respects, bearing fruit in every good work, increasing in the knowledge of God. Tremendous, right? So then, we need to recognize that unless we are allowing his peace to rule and allowing his word to dwell richly, setting our mind on things above, hey, you might as well just leave then, right? But no, I know you want to be here. You want to hear the word of God. And so God is very faithful to explain to us what we are to do. Turn your Bibles to Colossians chapter 3, and I was going to start back in verse 1, but you can read that later. You can read up to it. We got a long message. Hope you brought your sack lunches. No, just kidding. I'm going to start up where we left off a couple weeks ago, verse 15. And let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body, and be thankful. Remember that? Let the peace be the umpire, and be thankful, right? You know, when you don't got that, something's going on. My walk with the Lord, something's happening. I got to let the peace of Christ rule over my heart. His peace, not the world's peace, not some fake peace, but his peace. And he says, let the word of Christ richly dwell within you, with all wisdom and teaching and admonishing one another. And then with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with thankfulness in your hearts to God. And whatever you do in word or deed, that kind of pretty much covers it all, doesn't it? Do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks through him to God the Father. This is what we saw last week. Wives, be subject to your husbands, as is fitting in the Lord. Husbands, love your wives and do not be embittered against them. And now these very basic but straightforward commands for the parent-child relationship. Children, verse 20, be obedient to your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing in the Lord. Fathers, do not exasperate your children that they may not lose heart. The Bible has a lot to say about how to raise children, because raising children is very, very important. You see, it mirrors the relationship we have with the Father in heaven who raises us spiritually in a sense. He is our Abba Father. And so we see that. Now, in our passage, notice we have a command, first of all, for children. It says here, children, be obedient to your parents. The term be obedient, hupakuo, hupo, under, akuo, means to listen. We get our word acoustics from that. It means to put your ear under the sound so that you can hear it. And it has the implication of obeying that. And we all understand that. You say to your children, listen to me. That means listen to what I'm saying and do it, right? It speaks of obedience. And indeed, biblical obedience carries the sense of listening with the intent of obeying. Kids, this is why parents make sure you are listening. This is why we say, are you listening to us? That's the first step of obedience, to listen. This is the same thing for our walk with Jesus. The first step to obedience is listening. Listening to Him. His Spirit prompting you through the Word in your heart. Listening. He's sharing. Hey, no, don't get angry. Don't give Satan a place. Let that go. A gentle answer turns away wrath. He's prompting you. Listen to Him, right? And so here, children, he says, be obedient to your parents. Now, this is why I get concerned at times. And, you know, we don't have as many kids as we used to have in our body, but I used to see a parent talking to a child, and the child's off in space, you know, just doing something else, and they're not grabbing their attention. They're not listening. Child's just way over here. Now, children are children, right? They're not adults, as we'll talk about, but we need to get their attention. With small children, eyes up here, look at me. Pay attention, right? Now, God gets our attention in all sorts of ways, doesn't He? He uses circumstances and situations to cause us to go, yes, Lord, right? So then, now if you've told them to look at you, now I'm talking about those old enough to understand, not babies or infants, right? And they don't look at you, they're rebelling. That's rebellion. And we'll talk about how to deal with that in a minute. And adults, make sure when you're speaking to your children, you have their attention. And kids need to listen when parents speak. Your parents speak to you. Now, with that in mind, I see children disobeying at times with their eyes pulling away. But we need to understand the age and the maturity of the child, right? There's a lot of context. There's context here. If you take this apart from abiding in Jesus, allowing His wisdom concerning their age and maturity and His Word, you're going to mess them up. I'm not talking about being unreasonable. I'm talking about prayerfully in the context of the maturity and age of your child, what would you expect? Obviously, would you expect a one-year-old to give you their undivided attention? Absolutely not. Of course not, right? But if you've got 3 or 4-year-old that's not looking up when you give them a short basic command and you tell them eyes up here, you remind them something's starting to happen. Guess what's happening? Their sinfulness that they got from Adam is starting to be revealed. You see? And God has placed you in that position to guide them to see that and to grow and to be changed, as we'll see. So here, we know when our children have the ability to look and not, right? We know when they're mature enough to have their attention upon us. We know when they've grown that much. It's context, right? So here we have children commanded by God to obey their parents. They're commanded to listen and place themselves in a position under the authority of their parents to listen. We'll talk about this in a little bit, but this is the only command you got for kids. Obey your parents. It's really simple. Now, with this in mind, it brings up an interesting question. Well, what age do children become adults? We got all kinds of stuff in our society. We got kids who are, you know, 17 and 18, kids crossing the border. No, they're not kids. They're adults, okay? The world seems to say if you're under 18, you're a child. If you're above, you're an adult. Well, I don't think it's that simple. Take a look at Luke chapter 2 with the example of our Lord Jesus. And it's so great that we have a God who took on human flesh. who lived the perfect life. And we have his perfect example. We have his word to help us understand. Luke chapter 2. And it's interesting because he was in submission to him. So when he was talking back to them, there was interaction at this age, and that was okay. It wasn't lack of submission. It was godly, right? We need to be careful how we raise our kids. Learn from these lessons, okay, as I read this. Luke chapter 2, verse 41. And his parents, that's speaking of Jesus, and that would be Mary and Joseph, right? Luke 2:41, used to go up to Jerusalem every year for the feast of the Passover. And when he became what? 12 years old, okay? Get that. They went up according to the custom of the feast. And as they were returning, spending a full number of days, the boy, notice the wording here, right? The boy Jesus stayed behind in Jerusalem. And his parents were unaware of it, but supposed him to be in the caravan and went a day's journey. Yikes! That's you got a day away from Jerusalem, and all of a sudden, well, where's Jesus? Jesus, right? Where are you? You know, right? But it's supposed to be in the caravan. When a day's journey began, looking for him among their relatives and acquaintances. And when they did not find him, they returned to Jerusalem looking for him, okay? And it came about after 3 days, they found him in the temple, sitting in the midst of the teachers and listening to them and asking them questions. This is amazing. And all who heard him were amazed at his understanding and his answers. And when they saw him, they were astonished. And his mother said to him, "Son." Now that word here is our word, technon, child, children, same word, child. And if it's spoken to a boy, son, daughter, right? Why have you treated us this way? Well, he didn't treat him bad. We're going to see he didn't. Behold, you and your father have been anxiously looking for you. And he said to them, now notice, by the way, at certain ages, there should be a discourse. And the son may be perfectly righteous in having that discourse. And Jesus was perfectly righteous in the way he responded here, by the way. Little example. Sometimes we think we've got to shut them down so they can't speak. No, we'd be wise. And we need to listen at times, okay? And notice what he says here. It says, and they said to him, "Why are you looking for me? Did you not know that I had to be in my father's house?" And they did not understand this statement which he made to them. And he went down with them and came to Nazareth. And he continued, not that he wasn't, but he continued in subjection to them. Okay? And his mother Mary treasured these things in her heart. And Jesus kept increasing in wisdom and stature and favor with God and with men. So by our Lord's example, he's 12 years old. That's early teens. And he is considered a child. And he continued in subjection, right? That's all we have in Scripture to help us understand, at least up to that point, still a child, okay? Children, obey your parents. That could be up to 12, 13 years old, right? Now, certainly there needs to be the honoring of parents and obeying when they're in the family. We'll see that later on as the age goes farther. But here, specifically concerning children, okay? Now, back in our passage, what areas are children to be obedient in? Verse 20, children, be obedient to your parents in chapter 3 of Colossians. Verse 20, in what? All things. Be obedient in all things. Now, kids, obviously, if your parents are telling you to sin, this is in the context of a believing family, by the way. If your parents are telling you to sin, that's not what God doesn't want you to obey that. Okay? If they're telling you to steal something or hurt somebody, that's not from God. God is not saying you must obey them through this right here. The context here is believing parents in the context of Colossians, yielded to Christ. And we have the command, children, be obedient to your parents in all things. You see, kids, God loves you. And he knows the best for you. Yet because of sin, you've gone astray in your hearts. All of us have gone our own way. We've all gone astray. And indeed, you needed no one to teach you. And I needed no one when I was going to teach me to disobey. But I need someone to teach me to learn how to obey, because that's going to relate to salvation and a real relationship with Jesus. So you're to obey your parents and everything. They're given by God to watch over, protect, provide, teach, and discipline you for your good in the Lord. So you have one direct command. Children, be obedient to your parents in all things. Now I'm going to go through a few reasons. We have one reason here, but a couple reasons specifically why God gives us the why. He doesn't have to, but he does. We know certainly it's a command. So obviously God says so. That's good enough, right? But notice he also says, for this is well-pleasing to the Lord. If you as a child want to please Jesus, obey your parents. It's well-pleasing. God is well-pleased. Now, people say, well, they don't know the Lord yet. They're not sure if they're saved or not. It says it's well-pleasing. They're children, and God is working on their hearts, and hopefully they're getting saved. Hopefully they are saved. It's well-pleasing. You want to please the living God of the universe? You want to please Jesus? Obey your parents, for this is well-pleasing to the Lord. Children, be God-pleasers. It's well-pleasing to obey your parents and everything. They say, pick up your shoes, knowing that that pleases the Lord. Right? You start to learn here. This is helping you learn a motivation for obedience. Starting, you want to teach your children a motivation for obedience. Not simply, God said it, yes, but it's pleasing. It pleases God when we obey him by faith as adults, right? And here it simply says, it's well-pleasing. You want to be a God-pleaser? Obey your parents. Now, notice, let's look for some other reasons. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 6. And we're going to go back and forth between these two parallel passages. But Ephesians 6:1, and I'll read this for you. Children, obey your parents in the Lord. It's the context of the relationship with the Lord, right? It's in the sphere of a relationship with Jesus, right? For this is right. This is the right thing to do. It is the dikaios, that means righteous. It is the righteous thing to do. Some of you kids and teens might struggle with what God's will is for you. Well, the right thing is to obey your parents. The right thing is to obey your parents. Your parents may say things you don't like, but obey them in everything. As long as it's not causing you to sin, you obey them because God has placed them in authority over you and he's preparing you for submitting to him later on in the context of salvation. Okay? It's really important. What is God's will for children? Be obedient to your parents in all things. That's God's will. Now, why else to obey? Notice in Ephesians 6, there's another reason. Verse 2, honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with a promise, that it may go well with you and that you may live long in the earth. It's actually dangerous to disobey your parents. It's physically dangerous to disobey your parents.
If you've just joined us, you've been listening to Equipping the Saints with Greg Lundstedt. You can hear today's message again by visiting our website, etsradio.org. That's etsradio.org. CDs of today's message or other messages are available at our website as well. And as a part of the ministry of Equipping the Saints, all our audio resources are available at no cost to you. Thanks to the Lord's provision through the faithful support of friends of this broadcast. To order your complimentary CD, call us toll-free, 1-800-596-9144. That's 800-596-9144. If you prefer to request your complimentary CD by email, our email address is contact@etsradio.org. And Greg, today we have seen the child's responsibility. One simple command.
Yes, Dave, one simple command. And although all of our children are now grown up, I remember very clearly many times over and over again sharing with them, what's your job? It's to obey. What's your job? It's to obey. And so with that in mind, I hope those who've listened today have gained some insight into what God has shared concerning the children's responsibility. And next time we're going to get into the parents' responsibility. And so with this in mind, I just want to encourage you not to miss this. And if you're a parent, it's going to be absolutely crucial for you to hear everything. But if you've already got grown kids, it might convict you that maybe you didn't do everything right and you need to confess to the Lord and maybe to your kids. And maybe it just might be that God might use you to help another young family that they might not go through the things that you went through. Well, with this in mind, I also want to offer this booklet I mentioned earlier on how to train your children from the heart with practical examples that my wife wrote. Just let us know, give us a call, email us, and we'll get that to you. We just ask that you might give a donation to help cover the costs, but that's up to you and the Lord. So with that in mind, make plans to join us tomorrow as we continue our look at how to train our children from God's perspective.
As we close today's broadcast, here's an important message from our teacher, Greg Lundstedt.
Hi, this is Greg Lundstedt, and it is my great privilege to study and teach the Word of God and to share it with you each day on this radio station. And as you listen, I want to ask you this question. Has Equipping the Saints been a blessing to you? If so, would you prayerfully consider coming alongside us financially? You see, your financial partnership with us is so appreciated. So on behalf of the team here at Equipping the Saints, we want to praise our Lord and thank you for your prayers and financial support.
Well, thanks, Greg. Now, to partner with us, call us toll-free 1-800-596-9144. That's 800-596-9144. Or if you prefer to send a gift online, our web address is etsradio.org. Well, we hope you make plans to join us again right here for another edition of Equipping the Saints.